Good, and mention this too. Junior choir will start that tonight at 5:30. All right, so junior choir 5:30 tonight, and that's for those in first through sixth grade. And we'll do that over in the junior church. So, Mr. Myers, we'll leave that set up for now over there in the junior church for junior choir. So first through sixth grade, 5:30 tonight. Junior choir, it's been a while since they've practiced, so we'll be back in place for that. Excited to get that going again. And where'd Brother Jason go? There you are. Brother Jason has been moving all over the place lately. So come and read Scripture for us.
All right, let's turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Man, I don't know about you, but it's just great to be in the house of God. It's great to be here. And, man, we think about a year ago at this time, and there was a lot of uncertainty. And seems like a little more brighter days these days. So pretty excited about that. I was thinking about Miss Ann's song I mentioned in Sunday school this morning. You know, so oftentimes we get off the track of what we should be doing. And I told them in Sunday school, I said, we preach Jesus and Him crucified. And that's what Paul told us in the Scriptures, preach Christ. I mean, that's a way of life. And just preaching Christ and telling the world that you're a Christian. And, man, just such a great place to be this morning. Matthew chapter 28, we'll read verses 8 and 9. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring His disciples word. And as they went to tell His disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held Him by the feet and worshipped Him. Let's pray. God, we thank You, Lord, for today. Lord, we thank You for all You've done, Lord. We thank You for springtime and, Lord, the changes that come about, Lord. And, Lord, we thank You for that, Lord. And there's, Lord, always something new, Lord God, in Your creation. And, Lord God, we thank You for that. Lord, our hearts are heavy this morning, though, Lord, with Miss Toni. And the loss of her brother, and God, what a wonderful family the Hans are here, Lord God, and what a blessing to my dad and mom and family for so many years. And God, I pray we lift them up in prayer, Lord God, like as much as we can, Lord God. And again, as I said many times, like they're our own, which Lord they are, they're part of our family. And God, we just pray for her today and for Mr. John and. Lord God, just such a tough loss, God. I pray that Your hand be upon them. Lord God, be with us in here today. Lord God, we do want to just live Christ and Him crucified. And Lord, as we've read, the crucifixion, we celebrated the crucifixion and resurrection last week, Lord. And then as Christ, Lord, moved throughout this earth for a short time, Lord, after His resurrection. And Lord God, we just, Lord, we so thank You for Christ. And Lord, the more we get into the Bible, Lord God, the more we understand how worthless we are and how wonderful You are. And so, God, I just pray that continue, Lord, and we find ourselves, Lord, searching, Lord, trusting, hoping, and understanding that all of life, Lord God, is for You and is through You. And, God, I pray if there's anybody here that's not saved, God, they would accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord God, and that Holy Spirit would come into their life, would change their life. And, Lord God, they would be a new person and a new creature in Christ. God, give us a great message hour. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Good. Thank you, Brother Jason. And again, as always, thanks for the music. And appreciate the choir. And then also Miss Ann with the special and Mrs. Hayes with the offertory. So thank you for the great music this morning. And we're here in Matthew chapter 28. And I was thinking about this, the things that happened to us. In fact, as we think about, we celebrated Easter last week. And so if we're going back 2,000 years ago to this time period, then this is a week after the resurrection. And you think about what was going on in the apostles' lives. And we'll talk about it a little bit this morning, some of it that happened just directly after the resurrection, the day of the resurrection, and really how it changed them. And you think about what changes us, and it is hard not to think about what's the first thing that comes to mind. One of the events in our life that's changed us is this whole pandemic, right? I mean, there's nothing quite like that. What the changes that we've seen taking place in our lives just in the last year. As we look around, it's hard to go anywhere without seeing the results of that. And I was thinking this week and how much everything's changed. And the whole, it's obviously for some people through sickness and death has changed their life, but then also just the day-to-day things that we do. And you still don't know, it's hard to know what to trust,
right, and who to trust. I was thinking about this week the thing that's been different about this whole pandemic, and I still don't know if it's true or not, all right? It's hard. One of those things that's really hard to verify is that what we've been told from the beginning, that asymptomatic people can give it to somebody else, right? I mean, that's sort of different than anything else. How many of you have ever gone to the doctor just for a checkup and said, hey, look, can I get tested for the flu? Well, do you have any symptoms? No, I just, you know, I sort of want to get tested. Or you ever been and, you take your kids there, you take kids just for a well visit. Hey, yeah, but could you do a strep test for me? Well, does he have a sore throat? No, just to see if he's got it, you know. We never would do that, right, with anything else in our lives. We never would go and say, hey, test me. I don't have any symptoms. I feel great. But can I go through, like, can I get a colonoscopy, you know? Can I do that just for fun? I mean, I feel great, but I'm only 25, but I just like to do that. Could you do a CAT scan, CT scan? Can I have all these things done? No, we would never do that, right? And so what we've gotten, and who knows, I don't know, and I'm sure somebody knows more about it would be able to say, but that's what we've been told from the beginning, right, is you've got to get tested to see, and just because asymptomatic people spread it. And so, but all those things, that's changed, right? It's changed what we do. And you think of the effect it's had on us and our lives, and greater than that would be the event that we celebrated last week, right? What the resurrection did in the lives of these people, and how it changed their life. And if the resurrection changed their life, and if we trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, and if you have not, then that will change your life, all right? But how should the resurrection change our lives as well? And I want to see what it did for these people that were around it as they were there. What changed in their life because of the resurrection? The first thing we read in verse number 8 of Matthew chapter 28. It says that they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy. Number one is this: their excitement was increased. Their excitement was increased. Their joy. The Bible says they had great joy. The excitement that came. Go hold your place there. We'll come back to Matthew. Go to Luke chapter 24. It's in Matthew is talking about these women as they were there and heard that Jesus was risen. Boy, they were so excited when they heard that Jesus was risen. Look at Luke chapter 24. His disciples are there with him at the end of the book of Luke. And look at the end of the chapter, Luke 24, the end of the book of Luke. Verse 52. The second part of the verse there says, and they returned to Jerusalem with what? With great joy, continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. The women had great joy. These disciples had great joy. That resurrection increased their excitement, right? And they're already, I think, as Jesus was here on earth, they'd see the miracles and they see what he did and they know who he was. But boy, and of course, coming from what they come from, right? For 3 days thinking that he was dead. But you see the joy that came in their lives, the excitement about what God had done, the fact that Jesus Christ was resurrected. I was trying to think in my life of times I've been really, really excited. And I go back to Christmas growing up. I was trying to think of the times when I couldn't sleep at night, you know, and not because of something I'd eaten or something like that, but I couldn't sleep at night because I was so excited. And I told you before, I won't go through all the stories and say bad things about my brother who would get up at so early in the morning. I won't do any of that this morning. But what happened was this: with our home, the rule was you could not come downstairs when we were at the house right now before that. You couldn't come to where the presents were until 6 o'clock in the morning. And I remember we go to bed at night, and your heart's beating. It's hard to go to sleep, and you finally go to sleep, and then, literally, and I don't want to tell things that are not true from the pulpit, but Brother Jason can attest to this. I mean, some years, 4:30, 5 o'clock. I mean, really. And again, I won't say he was up first and woke everybody else up, but I mean, you'd be really giddy. You just sort of, I mean, like you couldn't contain yourself, you know? You ever done it? You're just sort of jumping around and you just want to get down there and see. And I just remember, man, so excited. I mean, you think about those things. What in your life has made you that excited, right? Maybe it's your wedding day, all right? And then ladies after that, was, oh man, sorry. But at least that wedding day was exciting, right? Your wedding day was exciting, and the rest of the marriage has been great too. It's been great too, right? Maybe it's your wedding day or something, something that made you got really, really excited about. I think about we just finished up our basketball season a few weeks ago, several months ago or so now. But I thought about, man, when somebody hits a shot at the end of a game, you know, and you get that, I see Caleb here. You remember Caleb when Zachary hit that shot against Valley, Zachary hit that, and I think Gino passed it to him, right? And I mean, man, so at hand. He's so excited at the end of a game. I see Seth up there. Remember against Tabernacle when Gino took out, Gino was always the one doing stuff for everybody else. When Gino took out like three people and moved them out of your way and made that shot at the end of the game. And I remember I'd go back and we'd video all the games and you'd, I try to watch the video. Oh, man, I want to see. Okay, well, how do we work that? And you get to the shot, and you couldn't see anything because everybody's jumping up and down, all right? And you couldn't see what was going on. Everybody. Anything about those things that we get excited about. You know, how excited do we get about the things of God? I think sometimes all the all those evangelicals that got their rock music going and bring the world into the church and just compromise what is wrong. There, sometimes, though, as Christians, we think, well, we got to make sure we can still be excited about being saved. And we can still be excited about what God has done in our life and excited about the resurrection. We don't have to dance around and act like the world. We don't do any of that. But we can have a joy in our hearts because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And the resurrection, as it came, you see, you imagine these women and these disciples, how excited they were. Jesus was alive. And that resurrection had come. And so their excitement was increased. Boy, they were so excited. It doesn't have to be manufactured excitement. It doesn't have to be entertainment from the world that gets us excited. It can be the truth of the Word of God and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll be back in Matthew in a little bit, but look at 1 Peter chapter 1. You think about Peter, one of the ones that heard about the resurrection and, man, so excited, filled with joy. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. It's a lively hope. It's not dead. It's a lively hope by what? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The hope in us because of the resurrection. And that's a lively hope. The Bible says, we won't turn there for time's sake, in John chapter 20 and in verse 20, it says, then were the disciples glad when they saw Jesus. I mean, when Jesus came after He was resurrected, boy, they were so excited, glad, joyful. So as that event happened, as that resurrection happened, first of all, their excitement was increased. And then go back to Matthew chapter 28. Not only was their excitement increased in Matthew chapter 28 and a little further in this chapter as you go forward, let's go to verse number 17 at the end of the verse. You can say, boy, this isn't really positive, but I want to show you. Look at verse number 17, Matthew 28, verse 17. The Bible says this, but some doubted. And then go to John chapter 20, John chapter 20. John chapter 20. This is verse number, let's go to verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto Him, we have seen the Lord. But He said unto them, except I shall see in His hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into His side, I will not believe. You say, well, what's positive about that, and what change took place? Well, first of all, let me remind you of this. The Bible says at His crucifixion, how many forsook Him? The Bible says all forsook Him and fled, right? The Bible tells us here in Matthew chapter 28, it says, but how many doubted? Some, all right? You know what that means? It means not all of them doubted. And as we get here to John chapter 20, we find out the one that was, main one that was doubting here was Thomas. Also, the Bible tells in Luke 24, two of those on the road to Emmaus were somewhat doubting in what they did. But it also tells this, if only some doubted, that means that some believed. And I can tell you this. In fact, look at verse You're there in John chapter 20. Look at verse number 28. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Not only was their excitement increased, their faith was increased. Jesus tells them here, be not faithless, but believing. We're supposed to believe. They saw. Let's finish up. Look at verse 29 before we move forward. He says, blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. But Thomas believed. It took him a while. And some doubted. Now, we don't have any indication in the scripture that those women doubted at all. It seems like as soon as they heard and saw the angels there that they believed, it took the disciples a little bit longer. But some did doubt, but some believed. And their faith was increased when they saw what Jesus had said come true. And they saw, and really, the reason we have, you get to the end of the book of John, John chapter 21, we finish up there. The reason we have the next book, what's it called? The Acts of who? Of the apostles. You know why? Because those apostles believed. And they saw and believed that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. And I don't think we have any of those Acts of the apostles if their faith is not increased when they see what God said came to pass and that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. And so that resurrection increased their faith. For them, they're like many of us. They sort of had to see it. We want to trust and we want to believe, but sometimes God gives us an answer to prayer. Sometimes God gives us something we can see to increase our faith, right? And so he increased their faith, and their faith was increased because of the resurrection. God told them, be not faithless in believing. There was some, and understand this, there's always going to be some that doubt. In fact, go to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And we have this a few times in the scripture where Jesus spoke to his disciples and corrected them. Remember when they brought that boy to Jesus and they couldn't cast out the demons, or when they took the children and told them don't bring them to Jesus, and Jesus would chastise them for that in Mark chapter 16 after his resurrection. The Bible says a couple times in this passage they didn't believe. Verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. He said, you didn't believe those that told you. These women that told you, even the other disciples that told you, and you didn't believe it. And they were chastised because they had been told. Hey, you know what? We have, as Jesus tells us, blessed are they that haven't seen, but still have believed. And we believe what Jesus Christ did for us, although we haven't never seen it. They saw it. But I tell you what we do have the Word of God. And just as they had the Word of others, and Jesus chastised them because you didn't believe the Word of others, we have the Word of God that tells us the resurrection took place, that tells what Jesus Christ did for us, and that should increase our faith. There's always going to be doubters. The Bible says in Luke chapter 24, verse 8, then they remembered his words. You know what? It increased their faith in God's Word. And as we see God answer prayer and we see God work in our lives, it should increase our faith in the Word of God. Their excitement was increased. Well, the resurrection, man, it changed their life. And now they're excited about what God's doing. And then their faith increased. Boy, they got to see that faith became sight. And they went and did all these things for the Lord. And then go back to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Hey, this morning, if you're saved, it should make a difference in your life. There should be an increased excitement about the things of God. You think about what we get excited about. Boy, do we really get excited about the things of God. There should be an increase in our faith, in our trusting God as we see what he's done in our life. And I think this is so important. We overlook it sometimes, but go back to Matthew chapter 28, verse 9, where we started. And as he went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. You know what else we see? When the resurrection took place, we see an increase in their worship. Hey, they really understood who Jesus was. He wasn't just one of them. He had been with them for 3.5 years. And they understood, as we go through the scriptures a little bit, that he was different, and even gave testimony that they believed he was the Son of God. And yet, when the persecution came, when all that trouble came, they all just scattered. And their worship of Jesus Christ, you know, when you're around somebody all the time. Sometimes Jesus said, even while he was here on earth, he said it's hard to go back to Nazareth where his family was, because they knew him. And it's hard for a prophet to go back to his home. And so they were around him a lot. And yet these women and these disciples, look at, you're there in Matthew 28, look at verse 17. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. You see that throughout the scripture, especially once we get past the crucifixion and resurrection. We always, you know, what are we going to do when we see Jesus? You know what we're going to do? We're going to, as they did, fall down at his feet and worship him. That's what we're going to do. There's no doubt about what all of us are going to do when we see Jesus. As our Savior, as our Lord, we're going to fall down at his feet as they did and worship him. They increased their worship of Jesus. They fell at his feet when they saw Jesus. Go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 and verse number 50. As Jesus led them out, and it says he led them out as far as to Bethany and lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And continues the story in Acts chapter 1 of how Jesus was taken up into heaven and what happens in verse 52. And they worshiped him. They worshiped Jesus as he went to heaven. You know, I was looking through the Gospels, and there's only one time in the Gospels where the disciples, the Bible says, worshiped Jesus. There was a few other instances where people, in fact, people that came to Jesus, the blind man that was healed, others that came to Jesus and brought people that needed to be healed, the Bible says they worshiped Jesus when they came. Well, there's really only one passage that tells us that the disciples worshiped Jesus. Not surprised where it is. In fact, let's turn to it real quick. Go to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14 is the only time in the Bible, in the Gospels, that we see actually the disciples worshiping Jesus. Doesn't mean they didn't at all, just the only time it's recorded. And again, not surprising, Matthew chapter 14. One of the miracles of Jesus, and in fact, we'll skip down to verse 31. Peter saw the wind and was afraid. In verse 31, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said to him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And this is when the storm was there, and Jesus walked across the water to them. And Peter got out on the water and walked a little bit. Verse 32, and they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased, and they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying of a truth, thou art the Son of God. They saw Jesus walking on the water. They saw Jesus bring Peter out on the water. And Peter, and boy, they were so overcome, they began to worship him. But to be honest with you, that word worship and worshiping Jesus is used more after his resurrection by the disciples than it is before. They saw Jesus resurrected. They saw Jesus who had been dead. Listen, they knew it wasn't some sort of act. They knew that Jesus was really dead, right? They had from afar, Peter had seen, John had been there at the cross, and those women had been there. They'd seen that. And those women were there as he was buried, and then came 3 days later and saw that empty tomb. And well, they saw what had happened, and they believed that the resurrection, and because of that, they understood, hey, this was, can you imagine you're talking to a guy that was dead. And they saw he was resurrected. And this is more than just Lazarus. That was great when Lazarus rose from the grave, but Lazarus is going to die again. No, this is that same Jesus who's going to do it, who as they watch, he goes up into heaven. They got to see that. They got to see. They were talking to Jesus. Jesus says something to them, and then he goes up into heaven. The Bible says they worshiped him. And they knew this wasn't just another man. This was Jesus, the Son of God. And he had died on the cross for them and was resurrected for them. And it increased their worship of Jesus. Go to Revelation chapter 5. The resurrection should increase our worship. You know why? We better get used to it. We better get used to worshiping Jesus. Look at Revelation chapter 5. And you think who wrote this? We just mentioned Peter wrote about the lively hope, the excitement that came in the resurrection. And you got to write about that. And then John, who was there at the crucifixion and there at the tomb not long after Jesus was resurrected, gets to write these words in Revelation chapter 5. And look at verse number 11. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. And thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Verse 13, "And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne unto the Lamb," that's Jesus Christ, "forever and ever." And the four beasts said amen, and the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. We better get used to worshiping him, because that's what we'll do when we get to heaven. Hey, the Lamb that was slain for us, every creature on earth, under the earth, where, they're all going to worship Jesus Christ. It increased their worship. Sometimes we don't spend as much time worshiping Jesus as we should, and realizing that he is God. As God, he doesn't have to answer to us. He doesn't have to explain to us. He's given us the opportunity we have to live here on earth and to do what he's called us to do, the opportunity for salvation. They increased their worship. You know what changed them? The resurrection. And just as it changed them 2,000 years ago, the same things were true for us. If we really dwell on the resurrection, Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and he rose again. Do you understand that? That's pretty exciting. Our salvation comes through him. That should increase our excitement. It should increase our faith as we've seen what Jesus has done for us. It should increase our worship. Go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. These disciples, these apostles, what happened? They get into Acts chapter 1 and Jesus is no longer there. He goes to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father. And so they wait for the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Holy Spirit comes on them in Acts chapter 2, and we see Pentecost, thousands saved as we begin the book of Acts, and we see God doing something great. Acts chapter 4, what's the root of all that? And look at Acts 4, verse 32. "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common." Verse 33, "And with great power," man, the power on these men, on this group of people. Look at the end of the verse, "great grace upon them all." You think about all that was going on, the power of God on them. I mean, God's power on these people, thousands saved, lives changed, great grace. The Bible says, verse 32, "they had all things common." Man, they just got along. They were in one accord. And all that happened in the book of Acts, and this is just amazing what God did. And where did it all stem from? Verse 33, "and with great power gave the apostles" what? "Witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus." You know why? They went around and told everybody. "Hey, I'll tell the world about the resurrection of Jesus Christ." You know why? Because they saw then the excitement that came from that, and the faith that came from that, the worship that came from that. And this morning, that same Jesus was resurrected, not just for them, but for us, so that we could trust him as our Savior. This morning, if you've never been saved, Jesus died on the cross for you, and he's resurrected for you. Now, you can choose to accept it or not, but he did it for you. If you're not saved this morning, make sure you're saved. If you're saved, just as these apostles were, just as these women were that were there at the tomb, boy, is our excitement increased? Is our faith increased? Is our worship increased because of what Jesus Christ did for us? It changed everything. Well, you think what's happened last year, Shane, no, the resurrection changed all for eternity, right? Because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. Father, I pray that you'd help us to be excited about what you've done. And Lord, it's not a new message. It's not something we haven't heard before, but Lord, the change that took place because of the resurrection, the change in the history of the world, but more than that for us, the change in our lives and in our hearts because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Lord, we think as these apostles, these women, these followers of Christ, just even as we on our calendar look at it as a week after, think about it, Lord, just 7 days after, and what was going through their minds and the joy that was in their hearts. And their faith increased and their worship to see Jesus fall down at his feet and worship a risen Savior. Lord, I pray that you'd help us this morning to be just as they were in the book of Acts, a witness of the resurrection. And we're not an eyewitness, but Lord, we have the Word of God. And we have the truth of the Word of God that you've given us. I pray that we take that to a dying world that needs it and tell them about the lively hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Pray there's someone here this morning who's not saved, Lord, to help this morning be their day of salvation and let the resurrection change their life. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be a witness of that to others in Jesus' name. Everybody stand with head bowed and eyes closed and nobody looking around this morning. If you say this, you say, I know for sure I'm saved. Everybody standing, heads bowed, eyes closed. You say, I know I'm on my way to heaven. Jesus Christ died on the cross for me and was resurrected for me, and I've trusted him as my Savior. If you can say that this morning, just put your hand up and say, I know I'm saved, and put your hand right back down. Here this morning, you say this, you say, listen, I believe in God and I even believe in Jesus, but I don't know that I've ever prayed and asked Jesus Christ into my heart. Jesus died on the cross for you. That doesn't help you if you don't accept it. He died on the cross to pay for your sins and was resurrected from the grave, and that was changed eternity, but it's not going to change your life unless you accept it. A lot of people that will go to hell, all those that die without Christ will go to hell with their sins paid for. Hey, your sins are paid for this morning, but you have to accept that gift and accept that payment. We say this morning, say, I'm not sure I'm saved. I've never trusted Christ as Savior. I'm not going to embarrass you at all. I promise you that. I just want you to say, pray for me. Just raise your hand and say, pray for me this morning. I'm not sure I'm saved. Anybody else say, I'm just not sure. Hey, the resurrection changed everything. Has it really changed your life? I know you're saved, maybe. Maybe not. If you need to get saved, that'd be great. But if you're saved, have you really allowed it to change your life, to increase your excitement, to increase your faith, to increase your worship of Christ? As the music plays this morning, as the Lord spoke to you, you come forward.
So glad to have you here this morning, and be back tonight 6 o'clock for the service. Don't forget junior choir 5:30, and parents, drop them off there at junior church. They can go in there again for junior choir tonight, and of course choir practice 5 o'clock, right? So all back in place and all those, and service at 6. Man, have a great week, And it's to be excited about what God's done in our life. And again, don't forget, as we mentioned earlier, pray for Miss Tony and the family this week as well. Father, I thank you for all you do for us and for just the great morning you give us here. Lord, we can enjoy being in the house of God. And Lord, thank you for the beautiful day you've given us. I pray, Lord, you'd work in our hearts even this week. And Lord, help us to take the truth of the Word of God to those around us and bring more into you, Lord. We want to see more people saved, baptized, and add to, Lord, as you want us to. So I pray that you help us to do that and bring us back in safely tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.